Welcome to the Community Living Show on the NCAA Radio Networks and, of course, our flagship station, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Or you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me. Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show, our half-hour show edition, which is a very quick one.
Yeah, it does seem to go really quick.
And that's Michael Rubin there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. You know, the bright lights aren't exactly my friend today, but then again, today is kind of cloudy, so.
Yeah. Well, they say it's going to be raining this weekend, but only short. That's all I can say.
Well, I guess it'll help somewhat with the smoke lingering in the air. Maybe help wash some of it down, right?
True.
So, I hope that all of our friends during this time that have lung issues that have managed to keep most of their time indoors.
Yeah, we were just listening to a bit of Radio EcoShock there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rather interesting. The correlation between forest fire or, as the one woman put, landscape smoke versus like inhalers and things like that. You know, the need for them, the increase from the pharmacies and stuff like that selling them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're all part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I'm just having a quiet day today.
Yeah, I think we both are. It's like, you know, it's just one of those quiet kind of days, you know.
Exactly.
So, I was with my girlfriend at about 2:30 this morning, helping her with her newspaper route, and we had to go pick up the papers,
right?
Because that's how it's done with CanWest and the Sun and Province.
Right.
So I guess they had a bit of a delay with one of the papers. And we got into the topic about water in the GVRD versus...
water in Vancouver Island.
Vancouver Island and Whistler Pemberton.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them that some of our water actually comes from Whistler Pemberton,
right?
And a line of snow melt,
right?
And that they will come this far south to pick up water drops if needed to douse fires.
Yes,
and it's like. And there's one guy, he just didn't want to hear any of that. It's like,
that's just enough. No more.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's not even feasible. They have plenty of water up where they are to douse fires and to drink. We don't have to share. Our water is our water. It's our ground table. Mm-hmm. It comes from our rain.
Of course.
And he didn't want to hear that. The rain is not enough to support the region that we need the snow.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think in some cases, the runoff from also Mount Baker actually comes into effect also, which we didn't even get a chance to get into that too much.
No. If you were just listening to us yesterday, we were talking about that on CITR, right?
Yeah, on CITR, we were talking about that. But he did bring up a good, very good point. He's like, okay, if we have unethical water use, then what would be ethical water use?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how would we define ethical water use? Now, I've yet to be able, I did do some Google searches between finishing helping my girlfriend with her newspapers mm-hmm. and getting here, and you know, no one has a clear definition of ethical water use. Okay. At least on the internet.
Okay.
It's like, so what is ethical water use?
Hmm.
You know, and how does the ethic change in times of drought and versus times of plenty?
Hmm.
You know?
Right.
So, and this is what I've come up with in my personal opinion. This is not any type of scientific research or anything like that. It's like, if you're using water in such a way that your neighbor could be in need, then mm-hmm. that wouldn't be very ethical.
No, it wouldn't.
So, you know, using water in ways that supports the entire community would be ethical versus using any resource, I would suppose, in a way that would put the community in danger would be unethical.
Hmm.
So.
All right.
But it was a very interesting conversation.
I bet it was.
Yeah. But how many people out there really don't know where their resources come from?
How many what?
How many people out there don't know where their resources come from?
Word of mouth?
Yeah. I mean,
that's my guess.
Yeah.
So a lot of people hear one thing, other people will hear another thing. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
How much misinformation is out there versus valid information?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. No, of course, we should put a disclaimer in there. While we try to make sure that we do distribute the best information, it is only the best information to what we found in our own research.
Yep.
And we are not environmental scientists or anything like that.
Yeah, well, that's
so,
a little different.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but that's the interesting thing.
Yeah. I'm just going through my late night show blog on my Twitter. I'm just checking to see who's following who and who's not following who. So if you get a chance to listen to my late night show, that's on at 12:30 on the other station, CITR. We play a lot of drum and bass shows, ambient sounds, and that kind of stuff. So I'm just looking over the computer right now, just seeing who's following who, who's not following, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it is all about media.
You? It's all about media. You're right.
With the social media?
Yeah.
I'm actually developing a strategy to because we do a lot of crowdfund products.
Right.
And I'm experimenting with a strategy to gather likes quickly
mm-hmm.
by building lists.
Yep.
What we do is we take a particular hashtag.
Yep.
We build a list out of it, and we try to find the people who are put least inside of the list, those who are speaking the most about that particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we don't just retweet them.
No.
We actually in Twitter, if you actually put their Twitter handle in the retweet.
Yep.
You actually contact them and you say, and you give a bit of an opinion about what you thought of what they said or mm-hmm. what the topic was,
yep.
what the information was.
Yes.
And you can actually quote, there's a way to quote tweets, and that's probably going to be your best way, is either to reply to the tweet or quote a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And and push your information out. In which case, the other person now knows that you specifically are talking about the topic and what they actually had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it increases the likelihood that they will follow you.
Yeah, even though my music's more of drum and bass music, and I do try and follow people when they seem interest, like you said. And then
people follow like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, actually, proves some of that within one of the other big social media things that I actually use for images, and it's because it's largely image based, is Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed how one person can produce a few thousand followers,
yeah,
just by posting images of shoes, because it's something that a lot of people
are interested
in.
Yeah, you're into shoes.
Yes, I actually write a whole blog about shoes. Where to find deals, styles.
Right.
Best combinations to wear them and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Hmm.
It's just one of those little side hobbies.
Yeah,
I don't really make a lot of money at it, but it's just something fun to pass the time. It's like a game more than anything else.
I hear you.
Yeah. But some of the principles of how I gather likes and people around shoes helps me with my business.
Mm-hmm.
To advise clients how to gather likes and everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other likes can follow the other likes. And
yeah.
So on and so on and so on.
Likes follow likes.
Exactly.
Sounds kind of crazy, but it's like when you get into Twitter and Pinterest and all that kind of stuff. It's you really see likes follow likes.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I do have one music if you want to.
Yeah.
Do here. This
one always has something interesting music-wise.
Yeah, this I got from Starbucks, and her name is Zella Day, and we're going to play you a song called The Ace of Hearts, and we're going to play that right now. We'll be back.
Cool.
Try so hard. since you've been my ace of hearts. Hit me like a freight train.
That was Zella Day, Ace of Hearts, on the Community Living Show from the album Kicker. Kicker, K-I-C-K-E-R, Kicker.
That's a pretty good choice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get some good music here on the NCRE network and on Co-op Radio, our flagship station.
Yeah. So... what are some of the big community happenings this weekend?
Community
things are happening this in the.
I heard, what is it? The Cat Solano's happening this weekend.
Yeah, I did hear something about that. Yeah. Do you want to tell folks a little bit about that?
Well, I'm just going to bring it up.
Yeah. Give them a second here.
Cat Solano, yeah, of course. that's happening this weekend. It starts tomorrow. Oh, I know. This Saturday. And I'm just looking it up. You can check out the website, K-H-A-T-S-A-H-L-A-N-O, catsolano.com for more details. Of course, they close off West 4th Avenue between McDonald Street and Burrard Street. So if you're on the bus, like I'm a transit rider all the time. And if you're doing something else besides Cat Solano, then the buses will have to reroute along Broadway instead of 4th Avenue. So
right.
Anyways, there's going to be lots of events that is happening to this weekend for the Cat Solano events. Yukon Blonde is going to be performing, The Bell Game, Pointed Sticks, The Courtneys, Enigmas, Louise Burns and the Victims, Hot Panda, JP and Girls, they're not really girls, David Morin, No Fun, Cuba Oms, of course, Windmills, Van Desmil, probably be a lot of stuff. And of course they have some family zones there on the 4th Avenue anyways.
Yeah.
So so there's a lot of stuff happening from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. So
yeah, and I'm sure that also help support a lot of the businesses that are along there too.
Absolutely.
I know that the West 4th business group is pretty strong over there in Cat Solano. If you actually get a store in that particular area, that they all work together with each other to keep each other's businesses running strongly.
Yeah. Well, there's a video here if you want to have a listen to it. Of course, it's a video, so you might not want to. You might hear it, but you don't see the video. So we're going to play it right now on what Cat Solano is. Here we go.
The town.
Okay, so that's one of the performers that will be performing at the Castellano tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go. So the Fear is called by Sherrod. Oh, I just got it there for a moment. The Fear, that was the song called The Bear by Sherrod Kelly. Just to let you know. So that's what's performing over there at the Catalano tomorrow.
Nice.
Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. It looked like they had some pretty fun stuff there, like the face painting and all that sort of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Street festival sort of thing, artwork.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I know they, like I said, as a business group, they put a lot of work and pride into how they operate their businesses and...
Mm-hmm.
Gathering people to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show.
And I see that our other friend from the A-Train is here on the co-op radio. And, of course, if you're listening or anywhere else on the NCRA networks, it's like more local programming will be coming your way.
Yeah, more local programming, yeah. For sure.
Yep.
Yes, so that'll be it. And thank you, Michael, for coming in.
Thank you, Kelly.
We're going to leave you with another Zella Day and a song called Chattel Preachers. And see you all again next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
See you Thursday. Yeah.
So deep before, if I stop trying, will we start dying? You're cutting me out, baby. Who you fighting? Who you fighting? Who you fighting?